That was all a side note. James chapter 4 in your Bibles. Let's go ahead and stand if you would and stretch your legs. I'm going to try to hit it and get it this morning. Not to take too long or eat up too much of your time. But I do have a message here this morning that I believe is ridiculously practical. And is going to rub everybody in the room the wrong way. Unless you're an angel among us unawares and we didn't know it. Pretty sure that your flesh isn't going to like this message. I'm going to do my best. I've been thinking about this too, and I want to make sure that when I preach for the Lord first, that I preach in such a way that pleases Him. The second thing I want to make sure that I do is that I'm myself. I want to be real. I don't want to adjust my preaching to try to suit the culture or suit what other people think I should be. I do want to be honest and be myself. But thirdly, I don't want to come across wrong. Amen. You can send the wrong message to people being yourself. And so I want to make sure you understand that this message tore me half out of the frame, beat me half to death, humbled me. And I actually even had to talk to the Lord about it. So I say that before I preach the message to you. We're in the same boat. And this is a rough ride this morning. James chapter 4, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Let's pray. We're going to go through the whole chapter here this morning, but let's just stop right there for now and let's ask the Lord to speak to us in the preaching this morning. Father, I love you and I thank you, Lord, for writing the Bible. Lord, it's pretty obvious you wrote it and not a man. Men aren't sharp enough to write something as intricate as this and at the exact same time as simple. And Lord, what we see here this morning is the obvious. And yet it's the obvious that is completely overlooked by almost every human being there is. God, help us to see what we need to see this morning so that we can leave here more like Jesus Christ, more under the control of God's Spirit, stronger walk with you, stronger relationships in this world, stronger marriages, a stronger church. Help us, God, to give you your way this morning. I ask you to bless the preaching, God. I long for you to bless the preaching. I long to be in your hands, to be your man, to be under your control. And God, I want you to use me for your glory and for your honor, and then, Lord, secondly, for the good of other people. I realize, Lord, that when you use me for your glory and honor, that it's oftentimes painful and humiliating and frustrating for me. And that's all right as long as my Savior gets glory and His people get help. So we pray this morning that you would help them and that you control me and allow me, Lord, the liberty to preach exactly the way you'd have me to. I pray it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, this morning, I want to preach to you on this subject, what's your problem? And I want to make sure that you understand that that is said and meant sort of in the way that's a little challenging. And I don't mean challenging to where I'm being a jerk to you. I mean challenging in the sense of like stop for a second and think about what your problem is. He says in verse number 1, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Now let's not forget chapter 4 is written in context of chapter 3. And chapter 3, God dealt with us extensively about our tongue, about our mouth, about the things that we say and how our tongue is a world of iniquity, how things come out of our mouth that cause problems. And then he goes right from chapter 3 into chapter 4. But chapter 4, from the way I see it as I study, chapter 4 is almost a step back from chapter 3. Chapter 3 shows us the fruit of what's happening and like the motivator, the cause of what's happening. But chapter 4 backs us up a little bit and shows us the root of what's happening. You struggle with saying the wrong things? You struggle with having the wrong fruit come out of your mouth? I mean, come on, man. You slam your finger in a car door and the first thing out of your mouth is not praise Jesus, glory to God, what a blessing.
We all struggle with our tongue. We all struggle with our mouth. But why? Look, people have problems. Let's just get this like laid out clear this morning. You all have problems. Before we even go to the external problems, you all have interior problems. You all have personal problems. Self-esteem. Self-loathing. Depression, anxiety, worry, confusion, lack of joy. You all have problems internal in and of yourself that you carry around. Even if nobody else existed and nobody else influenced you, you still have internal problems. One preacher said it the best. He said all problems can be boiled down into one of three areas. Number one, financial. Number two, family. Number three, health. All of your human problems can really be lumped into one of those three things. And if you've got to pick the best one, pick financial problems. Because it's better to have financial problems than health problems. And it's better to have health problems than family problems. The deepest wounds are those that are made in the emotions, those that are made in the heart. All of your problems boil down into one of those three arenas. And the funniest thing is, most of our problems we can't fully control. A lot of your problems are out of your control. But there are many of our problems that are in our control. I got to looking at this thing and I kind of wondered what psychologists would say just for fun. And I got to researching, and the funny thing is that lost psychologists from the world that have the proper credentials say that the number one problem as far as human problems and social interactions, the number one motivator is selfish and self-centeredness in the hearts of people. He said, we're all so egocentric. We're all so selfish. We're also in tune with who we are, what we want, what we need, what we think, and how we feel, that most of our problems with other people come from our own selfishness. And I thought, well, it's great that you caught up with the Bible because God said that a long time ago. From whence come these wars and fightings among you? But listen, there's another layer to all of our problems besides, you know, finances and health and family and people and us and our own internal issues and psychology and emotions and blah, 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 you name it. There's another layer to all of our problems, and that's really where I want to go this morning. It's a spiritual layer. And as a born-again Christian, you and I ought to sit back every once in a while and just take inventory of our life. Hey, listen, God does not expect us to live lives as of believers that are absolutely full of contention and full of strife and full of problems and full of wars and full of fightings all the time. That is not a lifestyle that is becoming of born-again people that are walking in the Spirit of God. That ought not be, but it usually is the case. Especially when it comes to church. I said, especially when it comes to church. Do you realize Satan hates what we're doing this morning? He hates you. Why? Because he hates your Savior. And he hates your Christian home. Why? Because God set that thing up so that he could seek a godly seed. Those two he made one. Why? So you can walk together, glorify God together. You're supposed to be heirs together of the grace of life. That's a passage that grips me. We're heirs together. Me and her are heirs together of the grace of life. In other words, grace is unmerited favor. I don't deserve this. And God has given us something. He's given us life. And then he put the two of us together and he's allowing us together to share and enjoy our lives together. I mean, that means that everything about us is interwoven one with the other. There is an intimacy there. There is a relationship there. There is life there. There's emotions. There's experiences. There's hardships and trials and good times and bad. Hey, we breathe the same air, eat from the same fridge, drink from the same faucet, sleep in this under the same roof. Everything we have is interwoven together. That is a relationship from God intended to be enjoyed.
not intended to be a misery. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to come into your home and he wants to start creating strife and confusion and wars and fightings. Now listen, hang on a second, okay? You know I'm a little bit real, accused sometimes of being too real. A little bit of fighting is normal. A little bit of fighting is good. Because you get to make up, amen? I'm sorry, honey. Listen, I'm not talking about being unrealistic. I'm not going to get into a big knockdown, drag-out argument with your wife. You know why? Because I don't care. She's your problem. Amen. It's your wife, right? It's just like water off a duck's back. Oh, me and my wife never fight. Well, you guys must not love each other much. Or you've been married, you know, 50 years since Noah came over on the ark. You know, you were there with him. And you worked it out after some time. That's great. But for those of us that are younger, especially earlier on in your marriages, yeah, man, it gets on. And it's normal. But you and I ought to step back every once in a while and say, wait a minute, are we behaving in such a way that God wants us to behave? Is this, if our life is constantly filled with nothing but strife all the time, something is wrong with this picture. You realize in church it's normal to every once in a while have some issues? Especially if Michael Richard Reagan Jr. is your pastor. I guarantee you, sooner or later, you're not going to like decisions made, things asked, things expected. Why he changed it? Well, I didn't like that message. Well, that was personal. I guarantee you, sooner, it's normal. Do you understand that? It is normal as a human being to have some issues every once in a while. But if it becomes the priority, the prerogative in your mind, if it becomes who you are, if the issues never stop, if it's obsessing you, if wars and fightings is the escalation that the issues have gone to, there is a problem. And it is not God's will. How do we handle our issues? Well, remember, first of all, that the devil wants to create them. Why? Because he doesn't want unity in this place. He doesn't want it in your home. He doesn't want it in your church. And he doesn't want you to be a good testimony on the job. So he'll always put somebody there, whether it's a boss or a coworker, who will rub you the wrong way and start a war. Now, I'm beginning to realize I'm a slow learner. Honestly, I was thinking about this morning. Like, man, I'm not being humble. I feel a little thick sometimes. I feel like I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. I realize I'm a very slow learner. I think it's because I'm just not paying attention. I'm obsessed with what I want to do and I'm trying to get it done. My wife she's a lot sharper than I am, but I feel kind of stupid sometimes. Not only uglier, but dumber when I'm next to her. But when I learn something, I learn it. And once I get it, I got it. Okay? So there's a little yin and yang. There you go. There's the positive. The positive is once it gets through my thick skull, I know how to handle it now. I get it. One thing I get is I can't control people. I can't control everybody else around me. But you know what I can control? What? Stop. You know what I think? If that'll help me someday, I'll be able to control? Me. From whence come the wars and fightings among you? Even of your lusts which war in your members. What's your problem? I'll tell you what your problem is this morning. It's not brother so-and-so. It's not sister so-and-so. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your parents. It's not your boss. It's not your coworker. Your problem is you. Where is the root of the problem? Look at verse 5. Do ye not think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? The root of the problem is in my spirit. The root of my issue is not what, listen, even when I'm right and they're wrong,
and somebody did me wrong and treated me wrong, the root of the problem when there's a war, the root of the problem when there's a fight, the root of the problem when there's division and that thing gets cancerous and dirty and bitter and frustrating, the root of the problem is my spirit is reacting wrong to what has been done. You know why? Because the spirit in you, Christian, lusteth to envy. Now, when I say the word lust, you know what everybody's mind runs right to? Because you've been brainwashed with filthy sewage septic tank water of the world. Your mind automatically runs to sensualness or immorality. Lust, it does not always, that is part of the definition, but it's not always just sensualness and immorality. Lust has to do with desiring more, desiring something I don't have. It can be dovetails into covetousness and envy and jealousy and all those other things. Lust in me looks at what God's given me and says, yeah, I like it. Yeah, it's nice, but look at that. Yeah, I appreciate what you did for me, but look at that. Yeah, I like my car and it suits me and everything's great, but man, did you see their new car? And the lust that is in our human spirit always wants something that we don't have. Always is jealous of something God gave somebody else. Always wants ourself to be recognized, ourself to be justified, ourself to be vaunted up, ourself to be exalted. And it is the spirit that is in us that causes us to be in warring and fighting with somebody else. You know what they said to me? Yeah, they shouldn't have. Yeah, that was wrong. But let me ask you a question. Are you right in your reaction to what they did? Parents, if you're doing a good job, all of your kids, even the good ones, ought to be ripping their hair out when you deal with them. You walk in and they're fighting. You know what I know right away? Everybody's in trouble. Everybody that's fighting. Now, somebody's more wrong than the other and they're going to reap the rewards of that. But you also tell the one that was right originally, why'd this thing escalate like this? Why didn't you just come to me and let me handle it? Why do you got yourself now in a bad mood and all worked up and all stressed out and your cortisol levels are through the roof and you're getting all worked up and you're crying and you're all emotional. Now you're all jacked out of the frame and all your peace is gone. All your joy is gone. Your fellowship with Jesus Christ is gone. Why? Because of what somebody else did to me. The root of the problem is not them, because stupid people will always exist in the world. Backslidden people will always be there. People that don't love you, don't love your Savior, don't like you. I just don't like you. Why? Because you're ugly. Well, my wife says I'm gorgeous. Well, she lies to you. Your nose is getting bigger as you get older. Your ears are getting bigger. You're getting wrinkly. Hey, you got a bald spot coming in the back of your head now. I just don't like you. Well, so what? Oh, it's okay. Guess what? It's all right if some people don't like me. You don't have to like me. I like me enough for both of us, ain't it? You know what the problem is? The problem is not when somebody doesn't like me. The problem is not when somebody criticizes me. The problem is the spirit in me. Goes, oh yeah? Whence come the wars and fightings? Well, there you got it right there. Jesus Christ says, blessed are the peacemakers. And we all want to fight all the time. Where do the wars come from? Your flesh. The Bible says in Proverbs 20:27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. It come from your spirit. Now stop one quick second. Watch this. I'm innocent. Somebody does something wrong to me. Right? And then I go, how dare you? What was that? That was the Holy Spirit shining light on the issue of my pride. But I'm right! I know, but you got issues. But they shouldn't have done that to me! You're right, they shouldn't have. But why'd you respond the way you did? You too have issues. I told you, you weren't going to like this message. Because even though I'm right, God's saying, yeah, I know, but you're wrong.
I'm going to show you tonight, man, it's amazing how God dovetailed this morning in James and tonight in 1 Kings together. Only the Holy Spirit of God could set something up like He set up for us today. I'm telling you, and that's why the devil sent this weather to keep people out of church and gave people excuses not to come. Boy, I'll tell you, man, that spirit that's in us, the Bible says in Galatians 5:17, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit with a capital S, and the spirit with a capital S lusteth against, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. You kidding me? I'm right! That wasn't fair! And I'm upset about it! So now I'm walking around, I'm miffed, I'm starting a war. There's a grind in the relationship. There's issues in the church. There's issues in the home. There's issues at work. And what's the problem? The problem is your spirit got out of whack because they provoked something in you and your human, sinful flesh didn't handle what they did to you the right way. And now, problems. You know what I like? I really respect and admire, and someday I hope to get there. Seeing somebody that's just going through hell and watching them just be chill, man. Doesn't even affect them. No, I'd say it's affecting them. But I'd say they're tuned into something that I need. That's called the Comforter. That's called the Spirit of God. Something in that person has control over them, that instead of bringing war and fighting and division, their spirit that is in them is calm. And they're handling it in such a way that brings glory to God and brings benefit to the individual in the middle of their problem. The root of the problem is my spirit. The root of the problem is my flesh. The problems in our marriages, you know what they come from? Problems in your church, you know what it comes from? You're selfish. You care more about you than you care about the other person. You hear me? Well, they did me wrong. Okay. Well, if you really love them, it won't matter that they did you wrong. What really will bother you is when you do them wrong. That'll really kill you. But when they do you wrong, if you love them, you love them. It's okay. They're more important than I am. So therefore, if they did me wrong, it's really okay. Why? Because I, in a sense, I'm looking up to them. In a sense, I value them more than I value myself. But boy, I'll find in Mike Reagan, man, my flesh is strong, boy. I don't mean weightlifting. I mean my flesh, my human spirit. Boy, get me once, shame on me. Get me once, shame on you. Get me twice, shame on me, boy. I said since I was a kid, I don't get mad, I get even. Now, boy, even as a teenager, man, I could keep as mad as my spirit would be like, aah! Inside, and I'd be like, all right. You got it coming. And boy, that almost got me in a whole heap of trouble my senior year of high school. I began to learn that I care more about me than I care about anybody else. Can I get a witness? You do too. And that's where your problems come from. So in tune with ourselves, look at verse 2. You lust and have not. Why you lust and have not? Because the root of the problem is what? It's the lust. So you get a nicer car, and guess what? You still got the lust. So that nicer car is going to get old, and you're going to want another. You got the perfect spouse. Why, you don't understand. No, you got the perfect spouse. You got exactly what you need and deserve. Can I get a witness there? You got the perfect spouse. But since you got a lust problem, you're not going to be happy with what you got. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. I don't kill nobody. Well, don't forget, we're talking about a spiritual context here. You ever murder somebody's reputation? Insinuations. I'm just asking the question because they got the promotion you wanted. Did you hear? Do you know?
This world that we live in, while I've been on it here lately, I might as well stay on it. So I'm making friends, amen. This world that you live in is wired in such a way that it's constantly self-promote, 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 self-promote. Me, 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 me. Recognize me, see me, thumbs up, like, comment, share. You are motivated in this world by you, 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 you. And then we wonder why our society is falling apart more and more as time goes on. I refer you to Wednesday night's message. We wonder why this Generation Z Wednesday night's message is such an absolute wreck. I'm telling you right now, church, it's going to get worse. Churches, good Bible-believing churches, are going to split more, not less. Because people are so in tune with me, 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 more than ever before. Where do they come from? They come from your desire to have, but you can't obtain. Because we're going to get into this a little bit tonight. The old school is still the right school. You still have to work your way through life. You still have to work your way up the chain of command. You don't start out at the top. You don't skip steps in life or it doesn't work out. Amen. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not. You can't get your prayers answered. Because you ask amiss that ye may consume it upon your lusts. He said, you know what the problem is? When you pray, you're praying about you. Your prayers are all about me and what I want, what I need, and my goals and my dreams, and God getting even with somebody for my sake, and God taking care of all my problems, and it's just me, 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 me. Listen, the more self-focused I get, the more problems I have with other people. I'll say it again. The more self-focused I get, the more problems I have with others. So what's the root of my problem? The root of my problem is not anybody else around me. The root of my problem is me. Even when I'm right. That's a bitter pill to swallow. But thank God, there's a way to resist the problem. Notice, first of all, in verse number 10, the first way to resist the problem is to humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. You know why most people never get their problems fixed? They won't humble themselves in the sight of the Lord. The way to fix our problems, folks, is not by fighting and warring. We're just going to create more war. If you haven't noticed, in order to effectively fight a war, you have to have collateral damage. If you don't have collateral damage, the war is going to keep going. Say whatever you want about bombing Japan and all the innocents that died and the long-term effects. How many lives were saved? That's how to end a war. You want to end a war? Vote Reagan for president, man. We'll be good. It'll be over quick. Now stop for 1 second. If I'm going to win a war in the church, if I'm going to win a war in my home, there has to be collateral damage. Because when it comes to a war, most human beings do not understand. If we're going to fight, you don't get it. Does not matter. I don't even care about my own self. I can't fight effectively if I'm all worried and nervous about getting hurt. I'm going to try to kill anybody and everybody in my way to get done what I have to get done. That's a war. You realize the collateral damage we cause? Because the root of the problem is our spirit. The root of the problem is our flesh. And we want to be justified and we want to be right and we want to get vengeance and we want to prove to everybody that we're right and we want to get even and we want to have that comeback. We want to say what needs to be said. We need to tell them what we think. We need to give them our opinion all the time. And as a result,
collateral damage comes. Is that worth it? How do I resist that? You have to humble yourself. You have to humble yourself. You have to say, Lord, I don't matter. Lord, I'm hurt by this. Lord, this isn't fair. But God, in Your sight, since it pleases You, since my Savior humbled Himself, since Jesus Christ set the example, He was perfect. He deserved nothing He got. And yet He humbled Himself before You. As a result, I'm saved today. Thank You, Lord. God, help me to humble myself. Because I don't want to cause collateral damage. It's not important, Lord, that I win. Lord, it's not important that I settle this dispute. Lord, it's not important that they hear my side and they understand where I'm coming from. God, help me to humble myself. That word means to abase, to reduce to a low level. Ooh, if you ain't been upset yet, you gotta be getting there now. You trying to tell me I don't matter? I'm trying to tell you what humble is. To reduce to a low level. Whoso will be chief among you, let him be your servant. To subdue. Oh. You want to resist a war? You want to resist fighting? You want to have a peaceful life? You want to walk in the Spirit? You want to have unity? Joy? You got to subdue. You got to reduce yourself to a low level. You got to mortify. Humble actually means mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. That means kill. You know where I got to put the war at? Right here. I have to say, Reagan, bite that vicious tongue. Boy, my spirit's popping, boy. If you can't tell, look me in the eyes. It's time, boy. It's time. And I'm ready. I'm chomping at the bit. And the Holy Spirit says, hey. And I say, yeah, but He says, hey. I say, I know, but He says, hey, you really want that? I've watched pastors split their churches. And then the story that's told is, oh, those horrible people, and they this, and they that, and they the other thing. Hey, preacher, what'd you expect people to do other than be people? You're supposed to be the fearless leader, then lead. I was trying, I told them, yeah, lead them. By example. Gentlemen, you're supposed to be the leader in your home. How about leading by example? How about not requiring of other people anything you don't first do and expect of yourself? You know what I've realized? I've realized I might be ready and capable, and it may be time for me to accomplish some things. But if the people that God has put in my life to lead aren't ready, then I have to be willing to reduce myself to a lower state, to wait on God to get them ready so that they can come with me. That's leadership. And it's humbling. But boy, to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God is the most wonderful thing you could ever accomplish, the most wonderful thing you could ever do. Notice something else you're supposed to do in verse number 7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. We're talking about how to resist the problem. See, we talked about the root of the problem, but now we're talking about how to resist the problem. Because let's face it, you ever get in one of those little spats that it's just like, you're just, boy, you're just trying so hard not to, but you're trying so hard not to, you're just trying to hold it in, you're trying so hard, it comes out, right? What happens? Then they come back, right? And now the floodgates are open, bro, it's on, right? Then you come back, and 2 hours, 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks later, you guys don't even remember what caused the whole thing. So we're talking about how to resist the problem.
Humble yourself. Submission is different than humble. Because humble is spelled H-U-M-B-L-E. Submit is spelled S-U-B-M-I-T, right? They're not spelled the same way. So you know they're different. He says to humble yourself under the hand of God. And then in verse 7 he says to submit yourself to God. Submission is to be subject, to yield without murmuring. If you're yielding, okay, fine, but you're not really submitted. It's to yield without murmuring. It's to yield one's opinion to the opinion and authority of another. It's to say, you know what, God, I will step aside and I will let you be God. I don't think you should have handled it like that. I think you should have done something different. And I have had those discussions with the Lord. Lord, I don't get it. I don't know what you're doing, but you're God and I'm not. And one of the proofs that you're God and I'm not is that I don't understand what you're doing. So go ahead and be God and do whatever you're doing. And just God, help me. Help me stay where I need to be with you. That's all that matters. God, I got to resist this urge to cause trouble. Because let me tell you something. I know how to cause trouble. I got to resist that urge. How? By humbling myself under the mighty hand of God and submitting myself to God. My wife likes to tell the girls, and if she's never told you, I'll tell you now. She says something that's very, very true. She came up with it on her own after I gave it to her. She came up with it on her own. She said, God seems like he's always for the underdog. You know what the problem is? Most of the time, you're too full of fight. You're too much allowing the root of the problem to continue to grow. You're all messed up in your spirit. Your flesh is all in the way. You're all aggravated. And you're not humbling yourself under the hand of God and submitting yourself to God and going to God with your problem and allowing God to take care of your problem for you. Now, if I didn't just scare you fellas, you need to wake up. Because what I'm saying is, take your issues to the Lord and let God work on other people. You've heard me testify it before. There have been times many, 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 many years ago, way in the past, when I've come to her about something and said, hey, and she'll start crying. Say, I've been praying about that. You know what I've learned of fear? Her prayers. Like, God, you know what a great guy I am and how good I've been trying to treat her. And if she tells you stuff about me, don't believe her, Lord. It's not true. I'm trying to teach my daughters, and I know this is a real sensitive thing in this day and age. I shouldn't just say she does a better job of it than I do, but trying to teach those girls that someday, right now, they're supposed to be submitted to their dad. And someday, God, with the Lord's help and the Lord's leadership, will put a man in their life that loves the Lord. If they're smart, they'll seek that first. And then they're to be submitted to their husband. You know what that doesn't mean? I tell my girls this. That doesn't mean you're to be a stupid little... Hi, how are you? I don't know. Let me ask my husband. Honey, am I doing good? Is everything okay? Oh, is it a good day? I hate that stuff, man. That has nothing, that's not what it is, but that's what the world tells you it is when you use the word submit. Let me just give everybody a newsflash. Everybody in this room is supposed to be in submission. Especially if you're supposed to be in submission, I'm supposed to be 10 times more in submission than you. Every one of us. And folks, being in submission to God is the only thing that really matters. Well, I've been trying to serve the Lord. I've been in submission to God, and it just seems like I'm suffering more for it. You just hang in there. God ain't done yet. It doesn't matter what they're doing to you. That's not the issue. The issue is, where are you with God? Gentlemen, if your wife won't submit to you, What good is it going to do you to try to beat her into submission? Are you nuts? Give her to God. By the way, ladies, that's one of the worst things, according to the Old Testament, that a man can do is not intercede for you, but say, God, deal with her. You pray that? No way. No way. I try to intercede for all of you. I try to ask God. I mean, Jesus Christ is our intercessor, but Paul said prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men, for kings and all under authority. You start praying against your spouse, something's wrong with you. There's a difference between that and having an issue that you're trying to control yourself and they're not fixing. And you take it to the Lord. What can you control? Yourself. You got a problem with your brother and sister in Christ? You got a problem at work? Humble yourself. You're not that important. You know what I found? When I get that mindset, most of the time, my problems solve themselves. I don't even get to the next step. Literally, when in my brain I'm kind of messed up about something, and I go, wait a minute, what's my problem? Well, you know, he said that, it was so stupid, it was so mean, it was so hurtful. And it's like, Holy Spirit says, really, Mike? Really? Do you see yourself right now? Are you in your stinking 40s, or are you acting like you're, you know, 12? No disrespect to 12-year-olds. What's wrong with you, man? You get on your daughters for getting at each other about that. Why are you getting at your brother about that? And I'm like, you know what, Lord, you're right. I don't really matter that much. You matter. And a peace comes over. It's gone. There's no escalation of the conflict. There's no war. Why? Because that humbling yourself, boy, it's so hard to do. I'm not telling you I got it under control. I'm telling you it's hard to do. But it is the way to resist the problem. Always trying to resist the other person. Now watch the last thing he leads to in verse 7. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Have I told you you can't skip steps? Have I mentioned that lately? You can't skip steps. You don't just resist the devil. It's just the mindset of Christians. This is just the devil. And so it's like, you know, it's Sunday morning and we're on our way to church and the issue starts. Right? If not, you must not have any little kids in your house, or I don't know what the deal is. And then what do you say? Ah, I know what you say. What little Ava said when we were in Texas, and she woke up on Sunday morning with this weird, she'd had the fever all week and the flu and this weird deal, she can't walk, and I walk up and said, what in the world, girl? Freaked us out a little bit. She said, Daddy, it's just the devil because you have to preach and it's Sunday. Stinking melt in my heart, man. Well, honey, if it is the devil Daddy gave you to me, I'll carry you to church. We'll dope you up in your neck. I don't want to miss church. I said, you ain't missing church. And then I just asked an announcement to leave your kids home when they're sick. Ooh. What we do is we jump to, it's just the devil. And you know what the other person hears? You're demon possessed. And I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And then there goes the problem. Brother, sister, you might have jumped a couple steps. And what you just did is you threw gas on the fire. Resist the devil! It's not what it says. It says humble yourself. It says submit to God. And then resist the devil. Let me tell you something. You mark it down. You can't handle him. Now, I know a little bit about fighting, and I'm telling you there's some levels guys get to that I don't care how tough you are, you better be willing to die because you're going to. Do you understand that? I don't care how stubborn you are, how strong you think you are. Just either walk away or be ready to end your life because he's going to kill you. That's your adversary, the devil, Christian. You don't understand how powerful he is.
Resist the devil!
No. Humble yourself to God. Resist the devil! No. Submit yourself to God. And then when you are fully in God's control and you got yourself at the lowest level and you got your head over you, the Lord Jesus Christ, then you say, God, help me with me! And God, help me with the issue! And don't let the devil get the victory in my life, my home, my heart, my mind, my church! Then resist the devil. I'm telling you, the problem with this culture, I'm telling you, I'm going to keep telling you, I'm going to keep saying it until the Lord raptures us or I die, is this stinking pride, this selfishness, this me, 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 me. I'm important. I need to be recognized. I need to be I, me, me, me. My wounds, my hurts, my issues. Listen, Paul tells Timothy, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the snare of the devil. He said, don't let novice preachers into the ministry. Make them sit around for a while and get old. Spiritually. At least not brand new. Why? Because instant success will destroy a man. Quick success will... Why? Because it lifts him up. Now, here's what I said I'm going to stay on until I die. This social media generation is a tool of the prince and power of the air to exalt a man to status he has not earned and is not ready for and was not gifted and given by God at the right time and in the right place and in the right way as the Holy Spirit bears witness to it. It ruins them. Self-promoting generation. Humble yourself. Submit to God. Then resist the devil. Now look at the remedy. So we saw the root. Now we're talking about how to resist. And I'm done with the remedy to the problem. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. And your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. He shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. You know what he's saying? Hey, stop the bleeding. What do you mean, preacher? My preacher said this. He said, Mike, don't you ever forget this. Because you are going to get at some times when you're wounded. You are going to run into some situations in the ministry and in your life where you are in the battle and you're wounded. Don't forget this. Number one, stop the bleeding. The first thing you do when you're wounded is you stop the bleeding. Number two, start the breathing. Number three, call for help. That's what they were taught in Vietnam, according to what he told me. That's what they were taught in Vietnam. Your buddy gets hit, stop the bleeding, start the breathing, call for help. You know what you're supposed to do? The remedy for our problems, the remedy for some of your issues, the remedy for some of the problems you have at work, at home, and at church. The bleeding isn't stopping. And as long as the bleeding keeps going, you're not going to make it. You aren't man enough. You aren't woman enough to make it. You have to stop the bleeding. How do I do that, preacher? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God, I know that I'm pretty right on this, but you showed me that I'm not handling things the way I ought to be handling them. God, I'm not dealing with the emotions of this. I'm not dealing with the pain of this. I'm not dealing with the confusion of this. I'm not handling it right, Lord. Would you help me to start handling it right? Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. God, my mind has got on the wrong things, and my problems have begun to overwhelm me, and my issues are obsessing me. God, help me to cleanse my heart, and purify my mind, and help my hands to be... Stop the bleeding! Verse 11, speak not evil
That takes us back to chapter 3. Stop the bleeding. Your tongue is bleeding. It's bleeding. It's bleeding your issues. It's bleeding your problems. And they're coming out and they're making everything worse. Stop the bleeding. Who can help me with that? The great physician. Cast your burden upon the Lord. Bring your burdens to Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all you that are laboring and are heavy laden, and I'll give you... That's for the lost. That's for you. If you're lost, it's for you. If you're saved, it's for you. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Lord, I can't do this anymore. Start the breathing. Well, that's drawn out of God. The Spirit of God. God breathed into his nostrils the man of life. The man became a living soul. I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That doesn't mean we go home to our Christian homes and shut the door and have roar! Again, once in a while, but not all the time. Doesn't mean we walk into our church and we praise the Lord, it's good to be here, and we have roar! Life more abundant. Means our Christian homes is somewhere where when our kids come in from public school, they just go, oh, it's so good to be home. Where our kids come into church and it's, oh, it's so good to be around other saved people. I can feel that breath of the peace and the joy and the love of the Spirit of God. You spend all week at work and you walk into church and you can't feel that when there's wars and fightings among us. And you can't feel it if your spirit ain't right. And you can't feel it if you don't stop the breathing, bleeding, and start the breathing. How am I going to breathe? Draw nigh to God. Lord, I need you. Lord, I want to walk with you. You know what will happen as soon as you draw nigh to God? He draws nigh to you. My little one came up to me this morning. She just... always a stinking happy kid, man, like all the time. She's got that little pink robe on, you know. I'm in the kitchen getting her the cup of coffee. And I got my message on my mind. I've been up for a little while, and she comes bouncing up to me. Now they're down to her. Can I hug? And I grab that little rat and just squeeze that. She's just skin and bones, man. I just squeeze that little kid. And then she went bouncing off. What kind of a dad says, get away from me, kid? No. No, you draw nigh to your Heavenly Father. You look up at him and you say, God, some people want to cause a war in my life. God, you know there's issues. God, I'm trying to control myself. Can I have a hug? You call for help. And he'll draw nigh to you. And then when you pray, your prayers no longer are bouncing off the ceilings because your heart is close to God. Don't go there, but verse 4 calls us out. He says, what the problem is, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? You know what the problem with us is? The problem with us and the fightings and the wars and the bitterness and the frustration and the pain and all that that gets built up is because we actually are friends with the world. How does that work? The world is wired in a way as to make it all about you. That's worldliness. That's sales and marketing. It's you, 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 you. If you love you, you are a worldly Christian. Christ laid down his life for us. What we need to do is, Lord, I don't love myself and I don't love this world. I love you. And God, I got a prayer request today. Will you help me control me so your spirit can be in control of me? And so that with my life, I can be helping other people. Church, I want to help you. I genuinely want to help you.
I want to help her. She's a helpmeet. She's helped me so much over the years. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount that she's helped me. In so many unsung, unnoticed, overlooked ways. I want to help my kids. One of them came up to me this morning. Dad, we all like the name Brooklyn for a girl. So who do you think should name their daughter Brooklyn? And I was thinking, I said, well, it doesn't really matter to me who names their daughter Brooklyn. I think it's a beautiful name, and I'm going to call her Brookie. You know what I'm thinking? Because you should see, tonight's message, you'll see what I'm talking about. You know what I'm thinking? I want to help those kids. Because I'd like someday to be able to help their husbands. I joke about being that insane father-in-law. That's only for the dating and engagement period. That was a joke. But I want to help their husbands. I want to help their kids. I told you before, there's some people that haven't walked through that door yet that God has earmarked for us to help. You understand that, church? They're out there. There's a lot of them. I believe that. And I'm telling you, if you don't put down the wars and the fightings and the issues, not only in your personal home, but in the church house, we're not going to be able to help the people God wants us to help. We're not going to be the people God wants us to be. Some of your kids are going to have to live through your divorce if you don't change your course. You mark my stinking words. And I'll cry over it. I'm not glorying in it, and I won't rub it in your face, but I'm telling you, if some of you don't change your ways, your kids are going to have to live through your divorce. So this morning, it's time for a gut check. It's time to say, God, am I the problem? And even if I'm not the one that started it, am I now the problem because of how I'm reacting to it? Help me, God. Help me so I can help others and bring glory to your name. Stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.